This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, it's already December.
That's it. The year's done. Over.
Well, I don't know. For some of us, the year's done. For some of us, we're just rolling into it. even though it's not our summer period right now, some nice weather expected over the weekend here, and a very fascinating story that I wanted to share with you guys before talking about the main news of the day. And this is a story about an artist who lives on Moshav Steh Warburg, which is a Moshav not far from Kfar Saba. And apparently she was walking in the field near her home recently when she tripped and fell. And when she got up, she saw that she had tumbled on some branches, and that the way that she looked at those branches, she saw some sort of a formation that reminded her of a picture of Jesus, apparently two branches that had been spread sideways like human arms. And I think that that's what makes her an artist and us not, an ability to kind of see things that in a certain way. But she took this a step further. She kind of cleaned up the image, and she laid it out in a way that became kind of a piece of art that she had created, inspired by her experience in the field. And then she spoke to one of her close friends, who is a professor at the Rosenberg School of Jewish Studies and Archaeology at Tel Aviv University. And this lady, Professor Dina Porat, was planning to attend an international conference on anti-Semitism in Rome. And when her friend, the artist, whose name is Nili Shachor, when her friend sent her a picture of this piece of art that she'd created, then Professor Porat decided that she would like to take it with her to Rome and potentially present it to the Pope. And would you believe that's exactly what happened? She somehow managed to contact a friend of hers, a father who is the secretary of the Vatican's Commission for Religious Relations with the Jews. And he suggested that she go along to St. Peter's Square at a time when the Pope has a public audience. He managed to arrange for her to sit in the VIP section. And she managed to get the personal attention of the Pope. And she presented a picture of this piece of art, a picture, a thing of, you know, a depiction of Jesus, as was seen by her friend Nili Shachor. And she actually presented it to the Pope, who seemed, apparently, to be quite moved by this experience. I don't know whether he went straight back to his apartment and put it up on the wall, but it certainly seems to have joined the artwork that is prevalent around the Vatican. So it's quite a fascinating story about how she somehow managed to engineer her way to get a personal meeting with the Pope in that public forum, and managed to present this to her, which apparently the Pope found fascinating. So maybe it's up on the Vatican, on the wall somewhere.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The United Nations vote held on Nakba Day event. Right, so just what is this all about?
Oh, this is a very frustrating story, and I know I had a bit of a rant yesterday about United Nations and the International Court of Justice issue that they're voting on, and I apologize in advance for this rant that's coming next, because this has been hugely frustrating for me to sit and watch from a distance. This vote yesterday was taken at the United Nations General Assembly about holding an event to commemorate, in honor of, some people have written, but I would say to commemorate the 75th anniversary of Nakba Day. Now, Nakba Day literally means catastrophe. That's what the translation is. And this is the word that is used by much of the Arab world, the Muslim world, to talk about the independence of the state of Israel almost 75 years ago. So whereas we call it Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day, the Arab world calls it Nakba Day, the day of the catastrophe. And the United Nations, in their wisdom, voted yesterday by a majority of 90 in favor to 30 against to hold an event to commemorate Nakba Day. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, did a really great job when he made his presentation to the General Assembly, speaking about the headlines that were in the New York Times on the day of Israel's independence, and which spoke about the Arab world mobilizing against Israel and against the Jewish world, and how dangerous it suddenly became for Jews around the world as a result of the Declaration of Independence, and how the Arab world was mobilizing against this event. He also spoke about what he calls the Jewish Nakba, which is the 750,000 Jews who were expelled from Arab and Muslim countries immediately following Israel's independence. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say, what would you say if the international community celebrated the establishment of your country as a disaster? What a disgrace. Those were his words yesterday from the United Nations General Assembly. So, again, I'm opening it up to the listeners to have their say. I am infuriated by this particular vote and the fact that this event will take place. When we look down the list of countries who voted in favor, I have to add South Africa was one of them.
Of course it was.
Also, interestingly, Cyprus was one of them.
So that's interesting. Why would that be? Because Cyprus and Israel enjoy phenomenal relationships.
I agree, and I'm as flummoxed as you are about the reason why Cyprus would have chosen to support such a vote. It's also interesting that so many of the positive votes come from African countries and countries from obviously the Arab and the Muslim world. That goes without any surprise whatsoever. But I see Zambia and I see Zimbabwe and I see Cuba and so many other African countries as well. This, I think, is really frustrating. The Nakba, of course, was a term that was coined to try to bring together the opposition to the independence of Israel within the Arab world, describing it as a disaster. And as we will recall, the leaders of the Arab world asked for their citizens to leave their homes and to leave what then became part of Israel, because they were so convinced that the unified armies of the Arab world would destroy the nascent state of Israel. One of the greatest miracles of modern day is Israel's survival during the period of the War of Independence, because this was a country that had no infrastructure, no army, nothing to speak of, and yet had to survive the onslaught of the combined Arab world. It is certainly a modern day miracle, and we are very, very grateful to those who laid down their lives as part of that battle, because we have a state today that I think they would all be proud of, and they would all say it might even have been worth fighting the battle at that time in order to create what we have now. But of course, the Arab world was so surprised that they were unable to conquer the nascent state of Israel at that time. They created these refugee camps, of course, which perpetuate today, more than 5 million people still living in refugee camps. These are like grandchildren now of those people who left their homes back in 1948. This is what is called the Nakba. This was a decision that was put by the United Nations to create a state of Israel in 1947, something which was also just recently commemorated, that vote at the United Nations in November 1947. And yet now the United Nations are calling it a Nakba. I think that this is not only a disgrace, I think this is a slap in the face, and I think that this is really something that we should stand up and fight against.
Absolutely right, and well said, Anthony. I can't imagine many of our listeners would disagree with you, but if you do disagree with Anthony, I'd love to hear from you on 34519 or 0618951019. The IDF and the Navy have successfully tested the launch of a long-range missile from a Navy corvette. Tell us about this.
So the Navy have really invested a lot of effort in a SAR 6 class corvette. They run a number of them around Israel's coasts, not only to protect the coastline itself and to protect the mainland of Israel, but more recently now to also protect Israel's economic assets, which are booming within the Mediterranean, particularly with all the gas fields that are being exploited, and of course a lot of threat that exists against those gas fields because of the economic benefit that Israel manages to derive from the gas that is pumped out of those gas fields. And so as a result of that, the Navy has really had to up its game in order to, as I say, not only protect Israel's coastline, but now also protect all of the gas field activity that's going on out there. And the SAR 6 class corvette is the Navy's chosen vehicle out in the sea in order to conduct a lot of this defense and surveillance that the Navy's doing. And as part of the process of improving the naval capability that Israel has, the Navy has managed to develop a number of missile systems that are actually located on the naval vessel. So we recently saw, for example, an Iron Dome system that was located, that has been attached to a Navy ship, and that was recently tested very, very successfully, launching Iron Dome missiles from the ship in order to counter the possibility of incoming missiles either against the gas fields or against Israel or indeed against the Navy ships themselves. The most recent test that took place, and details have been released about that, is another missile that has been fired from a SAR 6 class corvette. This is a missile that can intercept aircraft, cruise missiles, and even a lot more. The experimental launch was carried out by the Navy in conjunction with Israeli Aerospace Industries and the Ministry of Defense's Research and Development Division. And this is a long-range missile, which can apparently handle not only aircraft, but also drones, anti-ship missiles. And this is just another layer of defense that is being provided, anti-missile defense. And, you know, the interesting thing is that Israel is spending so much of its time, effort, money, and brain power on developing not attacking missiles, but defensive missiles. These are all anti-missile systems that are being tested and being developed and being situated on naval vessels. So these vessels are likely to have a whole host of different anti-missile systems located on the vessel that they'll be able to respond to any type of incoming threat, whatever it might be, whether it be a long range or a short range, whether it be an aircraft or a drone or a missile. Apparently these naval ships will be able to handle all of that. And I think this is a fascinating development, and I think a very, very nice thing to have, not only defensively, but it also sends a very, very strong message that our main job here is defense and not attack.
Yeah, it really is. Moshe raises an interesting point. He says, guys, didn't the United Nations themselves vote for the formation of the State of Israel? So how can they now also have a Nakba Day against their own decision? Which is,
right.
I mean, cognitive dissonance will explain it as it's not against Israel, but it's feeling the pain of the Palestinians. That's the way in which it will be couched. There's no doubt about it. But you have to be very, very mentally dexterous to be able to follow that line of train of thought and not fall over and obviously condemn Israel. Either way, very, very.
Especially when it's called a disaster. If you want to try and support a cause, use some sort of a positive term. Say, you know, a support of Palestinian refugees. I don't know, a term like that. But when you say Nakba, which means disaster, that can really only mean one thing.
Absolutely right. Couldn't agree more. Israeli petrol prices increased last night.
Yeah, so this is just part of the ongoing inflation that we're experiencing. Another 39 agorot added to the petrol price last night. And this is in spite of the fact that actually the price of Brent crude is coming down. So someone is somehow pocketing the difference along the way. Obviously, our government is taking its fair share in excise duty on petrol. So there's no doubt that that's part of it, although the claim was that they haven't increased the excise cut that they're taking. And yet somehow the petrol price has risen again, now to 6.85 shekels a litre. And if I do very, very quick mental arithmetic, it comes to around the equivalent of about 35 South African rand per litre of petrol. And, you know, again, this is against the backdrop of drops in the price of Brent crude. And we would have thought, we would have hoped that the dropping in the price of crude oil will somehow also be felt by consumers in their pockets when they get to the petrol pumps. And of course, just another interesting aside is that this is just really pushing more and more towards the electric vehicle industry. We're seeing a lot more.
What is that like in Israel?
It's becoming more and more popular. I mean, let's put the Teslas aside. It's not only the Tesla range, but there's so many different electric vehicles now. I was looking at the parking area where I normally go to my gym, and I've noticed how many parking spaces have now been designated for electric vehicles with a charger on the wall. You need to just swipe your credit card, and you can plug your car in, and it can be charged while you're going to the gym or while you're working and you're parking your car in the underground parking space. So this has become a real phenomenon, a very, very popular phenomenon, one that you see everywhere, is the electric chargers that are being set up now, particularly in parking areas where people leave their cars for a period of time, either at work or shopping or, you know, going to the gym or whatever it is. So there is no doubt that the electric vehicle space in Israel is being increasingly filled by people who are tired of having to deal with things like petrol prices. I think that it's interesting to watch how many different electric vehicles are now running around in Israel, either hybrid types or rechargeable hybrids or fully electric. I mean, this has become very, very popular indeed. Before I let you go, I have to just mention that there was an event in Jenin last night. Two Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders were killed in a firefight with IDF soldiers. The IDF is not saying very much about this incident. We understand that the IDF went into the refugee camp in Jenin, referenced the refugee camp again in Jenin, in order to pick up some wanted people. Some sort of a firefight then transpired last night, and these two commanders were killed. There are no reports of any IDF soldiers having been wounded or killed in that particular event, but obviously we're still waiting for all of the news to materialize to come out from that event last night. So again, still a lot of tension. I'm expecting that that will continue into the weekend, unfortunately, where the IDF is being forced to be very proactive in rounding up wanted people to avoid and prevent future unwanted events taking place.
And that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll, of course, catch you on Monday at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.